Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday service, the Sunday before Christmas. And our opening carol invites all of us to come to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Special thank you to all of you who sent cards and messages. It's been wonderful to hear from you and real encouragement to Pauline and myself. Well, today I want to bring you a message based on Matthew chapter 1. And so if you've got your Bibles and would like to turn to Matthew 1, I'm going to read a section from verse 18, although our main focus will be earlier on in the chapter. But Matthew 1 verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. It's a frightening thought for all of us parents, that the flaws and failures in our characters so easily pass on and appear in our children without any effort on our part at all. And so the saying is, like father, like son. Matthew chapter 1 and the list of names there is good news to flawed parents. So the opening verse reads, this is a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This opening verse tells us that God has kept his promise to save flawed, sinful people. It's a promise God made to Abraham hundreds of years before, that he would provide a way to remove the curse on this fallen, sinful world and its people, and to restore and provide a way back for people to come into relationship with God once again. And God says that he's going to do it through your children, Abraham. And down the years, God gives more detail of this rescue. He says the one who will come to save you will come from the tribe of Judah and from the family of David. And so on this Sunday before Christmas, I want us to look at the family of David. And perhaps you'd just turn with me now to an Old Testament book, the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel. And this is one of the two very vital chapters in the Bible if we are to understand God's plan for the world, because David's new kingdom and all that God has done for him, David now wants to build a house, a temple, to replace that tent of meeting which they had kind of trawled about for so many years. And so in verse 11, we read these words. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. What God is saying there is that, no, David, you won't build a house, but I will build a house for you. Not a bricks and mortar type house, but a dynasty, a royal family for you. Verse 16. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me, and your throne shall be established forever. And so, in answer to David's request to build this house, God brings this great promise. God is going to send someone to put right what's gone wrong in this fallen world, and he's going to do it through the line of King David, and this kingdom will last forever. It's repeated three times in that chapter. And the rest of the Old Testament asks the question, who is the one who's promised to come? But the news is of the awful mess the sons of David make of life. The whole track record of the sons of David is marked by rape and murder and wars and fighting and adultery. So the story of the sons of David, despite God's clear promise, give little hope for the future if the promise of a new kingdom, of bringing peace with God and salvation to people, rests on the sons of David. If it rests on them, well, there seems to be no hope at all for the world. So back to Matthew chapter 1. And verse 6. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. So, son of David is Solomon. What about him? Well, he starts so well, but ends up sinning miserably and massively against God, building altars to idols, marrying pagan wives, enslaving the people. And the list goes on. The next in line from Solomon is Rehoboam. What was he like? Well, of course, we find the answer to all this detail in 1 and 2 Kings. And we find that it tells us that Rehoboam was a really unwise, cruel king and a disaster as a ruler of God's people. Next name on the list is Abijah. And we read that he committed all the sins of his father Rehoboam, and that his heart was not with the Lord. Then, as we look down the list, the next one is Asa in the line of David. And we're told that Asa followed God and did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So, have we found the one? Is it Asa? But no, he didn't remove the altars of worship to idols. So he can't be him. So what about his son, Jehoshaphat? Well, we read that he followed the ways of his father and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So could it be him? Well, no. He didn't remove idol worship from the land and allowed the people to drift to pagan practices. Like father, like son. Next in this list is Joram, of whom we read, he followed in the wicked ways of the evil kings of the north there in Israel. So it can't be him. What about Uzziah, whose name comes next in the list. Well, 2 Kings tells us that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So have we found the one promised to come? Is this the son of David who will rule? Well, once again, he never removed the high places. And God's people under his reign continued to worship idols. Next in the list is Jotham. What about him? Well, he, like his father, was a God follower. But he did nothing to discourage idol worship. So what about Ahaz? Well, 2 Kings 16 says that he was a wicked king. So wicked that he was involved in pagan practices and sacrificed his own sons on the altar of fire. This line from King David is terrible, and yet God holds to his promise down the years of these sinful, evil kings. God keeps repeating his promise. So you remember the prophet Isaiah says, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and he will reign on David's throne." So, is it Hezekiah who's the next one on the list? Because we read that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. No one else is described like that before in this list. Hezekiah now removed the high places and the idols and idol worship. So is this the one? Is this the one that was promised? Is he the one who is to come? He held fast to the Lord. But no, he failed by pride, showing off all the treasures in the temple to the Babylonians. And so later, Babylon returned and held themselves to the temple treasures. And then, of course, whenever we think of these people, here we find that, like all the others, Hezekiah died because he was just a man, a flawed man. So he was not God's forever king. So what about his son Manasseh? Well, he did so much evil in the eyes of the Lord. He rebuilt all the pagan altars that his father had destroyed. He rebuilt them all and encouraged idol worship. And then Amon, who was just like his evil father. And then we come to Josiah. And Josiah was a true God follower. He once again removed the idol worship, and he recalled the Passover celebration that had been abandoned for hundreds of years. So surely this is the one, this is the son of David spoken about. But no, he made very foolish decisions that ended up in war, in which he died. So even Josiah is not the forever king. Jeconiah is left, who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And as we read all this, how can we ever believe that a son of David will be the saviour of the world? And so on, and 900 years after King David, and all this line of failure and sinners, now comes the birth of Jesus. And the people of that time, as they listen to Jesus speak, and as they see him and watch him and meet him, they come and say one day, as Jesus delivered a demon-possessed man, they say, "All the people were astonished and said, 'Could this be the son of David?'" And then you remember those two blind men in Matthew 9, who, as Jesus was passing by, cried out, called out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And he did, and he healed them. chapter 15, a pagan woman comes to Jesus pleading, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he did. And we remember that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, the crowd called out to him, "Hosanna," which means save us, "Hosanna to the Son of David, save us," and he did. This Jesus was truly like Father, like Son. Father God, Son Lord Jesus. And so verse 16 of Matthew 1 ends the list and reads, "Jacob, the father of Joseph." And you would expect to read on. You would expect it to follow. "And Joseph, the father of Jesus." But it doesn't. Because Joseph wasn't the father of Jesus. So it says, "Joseph, the husband of Mary." Jesus was Joseph's adopted son, so Jesus was a real son of David, but Jesus was not Joseph's son by nature, because Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is God himself. And that means he has all the power, all the grace, all the right to save his people. With no sin of his own, Jesus can pay for our sin, and that's what he did on the cross. But unlike all the other sons of David, Jesus didn't remain dead, but rose and now rules his eternal kingdom as our heavenly king. And the promise stands, and it stands today, that everyone who calls on this Son of David will be saved. So this Christmas, thank him and worship him. Seek to spend some time in a busy day. Seek to spend some time with him. Seek to spend a little time with his word so that you might praise him and thank him for that great time when you called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He did. So now our prayer. Lord Jesus, on this Sunday before Christmas, we bow before you. We come to you, Heavenly Father, to thank you for sending your only Son. What a gift. What a Saviour. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to lift our hearts together in adoration, the wonder of Jesus born, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus born to die, to pay the price for the guilt of our sin. And so we worship you with joy in our hearts and praise on our lips. Amen.